Friends, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus. Let's consider again the words of St. Paul to the Romans in chapter 6. Paul writes, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." This is our text. Please be seated. As I was reading this text, the phrases that caught my attention were baptized into him, buried with him, raised with him, united with him. And it's kind of hard to miss Paul's point, isn't it? Baptism has connected us to Christ. Or I like to say, he's cemented us to Christ. And that got me to thinking about a pop song that's now a decade old, titled "Stuck Like Glue." And it's got that, if you know what I'm talking about, it's got that annoyingly catchy refrain that when you hear it, you almost cannot help but sing along with it, and at the same time you hate yourself because you're kind of enjoying it, because it is fun to sing. Whoa, stuck like glue. You and me, baby, we're stuck like glue. I don't know why that kind of stuff pops into my mind when I'm pondering the Holy Scriptures. The video that goes along with that song is hardly a godly influence. It's about a woman who stalks and then kidnaps her ex because she can't get over him. She is stuck to him like glue, and she would like to think that it's mutual. But that imagery of being stuck to someone like you're glued to them is where I'd like to make the comparison with our reading today from Romans on this day that we commemorate the baptism of our Lord. To say that in baptism we are glued to Christ is to say that prior to baptism we were unglued. We were detached and disconnected. And that's exactly what Isaiah the prophet says. "Your iniquities have made separation between you and your God." So we live among a people that has come unglued. Unglued from God. An unglued world where we don't respect the authorities that he has placed over us in the home and in the school and in government. Where we are too cavalier about his gift of life and think that we can just throw away any life that is not convenient to us. We live in an unglued world where we don't even know the simple basics of what it means to be male and female. Where we have twisted sexuality, God's good gift to bind husbands and wives and families into a lustful plaything. We live in a world that has come unglued, where we have no regard for how our words might hurt the very people God has given us to love. and where we can't seem to be content with what God has blessed us with, but instead are always clamoring for more. In the Message paraphrased Bible, Psalm 82 verse 5 reads this way: "Everything is falling apart. The world is coming unglued." And really, that's not a bad paraphrase. The Hebrew word there means to slip or to be removed. And certainly, a creation that has come unglued from its creator is a world that is slipping away and will be removed. Fortunately for us, in baptism, we have the glue that once again binds us to God through His Son. And how sad for all of those denominations that see baptism as merely symbolic, who deny the power of what baptism really does, as Paul describes it here when he says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may live a newness of life." That does not sound like symbolism. That sounds like real power and real connection. Just because I don't understand how God makes that baptismal connection to Christ does not mean that the connection is any less real, or that it's merely symbolic. I don't understand how super glue bonds things together, but I know it works because I've glued my fingers together. And I can tell you, it is not mere symbolism when they say that super glue makes things stick. And baptism also has tremendous and real bonding power because God's word is true. Paul is clear. Baptism binds us so closely to Christ that it's as if that little splash of water transported us back 2,000 years, right back into Christ's tomb, where His dead body lay right next to all of us who are glued to Him, who died with Him, who are buried with Him by our baptism. But Paul goes on. Because we are glued to Christ in baptism, not only do we die with Christ, not only are we buried with Him, but we also rise with Him to a newness of life. He goes on to say, we were buried with Him through baptism, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in a newness of life. God does not leave us dead in our sins any more than He abandoned His Son to His grave. But He raises us with Christ by His glory so that we may walk with Christ in a newness of life. And the contrast between that old life and that new life is stark. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We had become unglued from God and from everything that He had created us to be. But now God has raised us to new life in and through our baptism, that washing that regenerated us and renewed us in the Holy Spirit as believing Christians. And this new life is a life in which we no longer live for ourselves, but for Christ, who died for us, who bound us to Himself, and who reconciled us to the Father. It is a life in which we no longer live to gratify our sinful desires, but we live instead to please our gracious God. And that's what Paul means when he says at the end, "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." When you're dead to something, you stop responding to it. I think of the movie The Fiddler on the Roof, when Tevye's youngest daughter, Chava, decides to marry outside the Jewish community and faith. And that is more than Tevye, who loves tradition, can take. and he declares, Chava is dead to us. And then comes what I think is the saddest scene in the movie. When Chava pleads with her dad to accept her and her Gentile husband. And he looks at her, and you can see this titanic struggle in his eyes. He wants her. He wants to embrace her. But then he throws up his fists and he says, no, no, no. And he turns his back on her and he walks away from her, ignoring her cries, refusing to respond to her. She is dead to him. It is a tear-jerking moment in that story. But let me assure you that when you count yourself dead to sin, when you stop responding to it, the angels in heaven are rejoicing over you. And if you can, just picture yourself facing your pet sin, whatever it is. It's beckoning you once again to pay heed to it, to listen to it. And you struggle against it mightily because your flesh is weak and it wants to listen. But then faith throws up its fists and says, no, 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 no to the gossiping, no to the unforgiving heart, no to the pornography and the laziness and the bullying, and no to the cheating and the disrespectfulness, and no to missing worship, and no to that argumentative spirit. Sin, disturb my soul no longer. I am baptized into Christ. I am glued to Christ in my baptism. I am dead to sin. And now we see how preposterous Paul's question is at the beginning of this text. He says, are we to continue to sin that grace may abound? What kind of a Christian would ask such a question? That's like asking, should I set my house on fire so that the fire department can get some practice putting out fires? Should I crash my car into a tree at 50 miles an hour so that the first responders can do their thing and maybe even getting written up in the paper the next day as heroes? Who would even think twisted thoughts like that? And what Christian would use the amazing grace of God as an excuse to continue what you used to do when you were alive to sin? The more I sin, the more He forgives, and the more that's to His glory. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. And yet at the same time, we do know that we're not going to be free of sin this side of heaven. We do still sin, even as we walk in the newness of life, but the difference is that we don't live to sin. Instead, we live for Christ. And when we do sin, we repent, and we return again to His mercy in the gospel, in the absolution, in the sacrament of the altar. And God picks us up again in His amazing forgiveness. And then we determine once again, we are going to live as those who are bound to Christ. For that is who we are. Glued to Christ in our baptism. Having risen with Him to a newness of life. I went to the basement as I was thinking about all this bonding stuff. And I found a package of J.B. Weld. It says on the front there, it claims to be the world's strongest bond, and then it says our strongest epoxy, and then you flip it over and it says it provides a strong, lasting repairs, a permanent bond. But we know of a bond that's even stronger, even more permanent. You know, the things that you stick together with J.B. Weld, like everything else in this world, are destined one day to burn in the fire when Jesus returns. And that will be the end of your J.B. Welds. Did you ever stop to think that the strongest and the most permanent bond, the bond that will withstand even the fire of His coming, is created with water? Baptism creates a bond that lasts for all of eternity. Paul says, "For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His." Just as Christ was raised from the dead, physically, bodily, raised from the dead, so we too shall be raised with Him. And that means the best is yet to come. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, we are going to be raised incorruptible, imperishable, and immortal. In other words, these bodies are not going to be subject to sin anymore and to the ravages of sin. No arthritis or cancer, no high blood pressure, no heart attacks, no fever, no infection, no diseases. For death itself, the penalty of sin, will be no more. Christ died. Christ is risen. Christ has ascended. Christ is glorified. And in all of it, we are glued to Him by the mighty bonding power of water combined with the Word of God in our baptism. We are stuck to Him like glue. And His death is ours, but His victory is also ours. And all who believe and are baptized shall be saved. For as Paul writes, now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.